In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this Transfiguration Sunday is our Gospel reading from Luke, the 9th chapter, and our Epistle reading from Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, consider Jesus. That's the call of our Epistle today. But hasn't the Church considered Jesus enough? It's always the same message. We know what happened. Can't the church see? Doesn't she know that she's dying? Hasn't the church realized that the same old message isn't working? Just look around. See the emptiness of the pews. Doesn't the church know Einstein's definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? Doesn't the church need to adjust her message to the times? Surely those same old hymns have lost their effect. The liturgy is too old, too foreign, too formal, too fixed in time to be of any use. It's always the same readings, the same stories, the same characters. Doesn't the church know that it's time to move on from considering Jesus and address my problems? In my real life. Can't the church see that it's not working? Isn't there something more? Something practical? Something that I can do? Dear holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Your eyes are infinitely stronger and more persuasive than your ears, and this often to your detriment. But today, the Father speaks from heaven and says of Jesus, his Son, listen to him. Listen to him. Despite what your eyes see, when you look at the world and the church and even yourself, what do you see? Our eyes tell us that there is strength in numbers. They either see results or they don't. And then they look for causes. There are churches filled week in and week out. What are they doing that we're not? What differences can our eyes see? We see different forms of worship, different ways of speaking, a number of different people attending. Our eyes tell us that if we want numbers, the strength, the size, well, we need to change or die. But our Lord says, listen to him. Dear holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Today, we celebrate the Feast of Transfiguration of our Lord, beautifully placed as a culmination of Epiphany and the strength for what is needed for the Lenten journey ahead. Today, we see Jesus literally in a whole new light. But the point of the Transfiguration is to reveal who he is despite what our eyes see and will see. In every respect, Jesus was ordinary. He didn't stand over the crowds in like Goliath in stature and nature. He didn't draw people to himself by his beauty. And what's to come in the days ahead will look only like weakness, defeat, and failure. The Transfiguration was not for Jesus' sake. He knew full well that both Moses and Elijah spoke of him, and particularly of his exodus. He knew that all of the law and the prophets must be fulfilled, that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer these things, and then enter into his glory. No, the Transfiguration wasn't for him. It was for Peter, James, and John, and with them, you and me. It's because our Lord knows how much we believe our eyes rather than our ears, how tempting it is to call a thing as we see it, rather than how God has spoken of it. How convinced we are by numbers and size and effectiveness. And the disciples were no different. Our Lord knew Peter would see the slave girl and be convinced that denial was his best option. He knew that James and John had their eyes fixed on his right hand and on his left and the power therein. And he knew that once the shepherd was struck, the sheep would scatter. For what the eyes see appears so convincing. So for a brief moment, the Lord opens their eyes. And what they saw would never leave them. The image of his face changed. His clothes shone white like the stars. Moses and Elijah on either side of him in glory, talking about his exodus. And not knowing what to say or what to do, but not wanting it to end, Peter says, "Wait, this is good. Don't go. Let me make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And then there was a cloud, and the fear, and the voice. "This is my son, the chosen one. Listen to him." And then it was Jesus, only Jesus. They didn't quite understand it all at the time. That came later. At first, they were silent and told nothing to anyone as to what they had seen. Why? Because who would believe them unless they saw it with their own eyes? What they were given to do was to listen, to consider Jesus. For though the eyes only see what is ordinary, humble, weak, and of apparent failure, the reality is quite a bit different. This Jesus is light of light, very God of very God. Our reading from Hebrews says he is the apostle and high priest of our confession, which means that he is the chosen and sent one. He is the proclamation. He is the word made flesh. He is both the Lamb of sacrifice and the high priest who offers himself for the sins of the world. He is the Exodus. What Moses and Elijah were about on the mountain was his going to the cross, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection to lead the people out of the slavery of sin and death and to set them free. And if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. And now Peter, James, and John with all of them share with us in this heavenly calling. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the devil. For Jesus, our high priest, the Lamb of sacrifice, was lifted high upon the cross and gave his life unto death for us. And what has he said about us? He has said this: "My grace is sufficient for you." That is, that we are sons of God, co-heirs with Christ, that he has made us his own. He has made us alive together with him in Christ, wrapping us in a robe of his own righteousness that covers all our sins when we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit and marked with his holy cross on our forehead and on our heart. We are his, and he feeds us with his own very body and blood so as to sustain us, so as to enter into his presence that we may dwell in his presence and live with him in glory. For that one moment of holy communion where we enter into his presence, he feeds us, he sustains us, and he carries us through, reminding us to depart in his peace, for our sins are forgiven, for he is with us, and we have nothing to fear, for we have life in his name. He declares us to be free, free in him, and free forever to live with our holy Father, our gracious and loving God. We too share in this heavenly calling, even though our eyes can only see the ordinary. We too are holy, even though our eyes beg to differ, for we are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And what matters is not what we see, but rather that we listen to him, that we consider Jesus. To the world, it is inexplicable, insanity, really, that the church lives on, always preaching the same old things, always returning to the same old stories, always hearing the same old promises, always considering the same old Jesus. But to us who are being saved, Christ is the power, Christ is the wisdom of God. It is precisely because the church preaches and believes that same old thing, that she lives, that she moves, and that she has her being. She lives by hearing the word, by listening to him. For his word is life and life-giving, and draws you into himself, into that marvelous light of salvation. He shatters the darkness of sin. He shatters the darkness of death. He shatters the darkness of the devil, and he gives you the light of his presence, the light of his forgiveness, the light of his peace, the light of his life. His transfiguration, it is for you, that you may be strengthened for the exodus, for the journey through the cross and grave, and finally to your heavenly calling. It reveals the reality of who Jesus is and who you are in Christ, despite what your eyes see. Dear holy brothers and sisters who share in his heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Amen.